We're here in Hudson with Al Roberts, who is a well-known collector of paintings, and says he started his career at the age of 10 when he bought his first piece of art. What made you want that piece of art at the age of 10?
Well, I'm a naturally acquisitive person, and I had been buying at the supermarket once a month a portion of an encyclopedia called the Knowledge Books.
Uh-huh.
And in those days, a month was enough to practically commit it to memory. So I was already becoming familiar with world art.
I knew it started someplace.
And it was a dollar. And a dollar was a lot of money in those days. So the owner allowed me to pay on time. I can't remember whether it's 10 cents a week or 25 cents a week. Probably 10 cents a week to pay the dollar. And it was a Courier and Ives print, actually, of two young women in Victorian outfits in a garden. And I find it very pleasing. They were roughly my age. They were new friends.
Oh, they were people that you knew?
No.
But
the painting depicted two girls, and the girls were about my age.
So they
could. So they become friends. They became friends.
Yeah, I see. Well, that explains a lot to me, because there must have been salesmen, door-to-door salesmen, who sold all kinds of things besides the jokes are always about the vacuum cleaner. But my family had, I think it was called the Book of Knowledge, a whole set of encyclopedias. And if we ever, at the dining room table, if somebody said, how do you spell something, or what does this mean? Somebody would go and get the book and bring it to the table.
Sounds like the same book.
Yeah. But you learned that you had to pay for it. And that
25
was,
cents. The books were 25 cents each.
Mm-hmm. So when you got to school, did your teachers recognize this knowledge that you had that maybe other kids didn't have?
Well, they seemed to, but I have a bit of wiring which is amiss, and it has left me with total recall of images.
A total recall of images?
Yes. Hmm. That's been very, very helpful in my collecting.
So you just kept collecting after this
adventure? Yes, I just kept collecting.
Yeah.
Until now I have about 2,000 paintings.
Where do you put them all?
In storage, and, well, I call them my orphans, because they're paintings that have lost their identity. And I specialize in reestablishing their identity, which is what happened with the Van Dyke.
Does anyone ever show up asking you if you know where such and such a painting is?
No. I'm called upon to look at paintings for institutions, because sometimes I can recognize if I've seen paintings by that artist before, they're available, mentally available.
Mm-hmm.
And I can examine them in my mind.
That's a great...
Well, I call it a bit
ability.
Of wiring. A bit of faulty wiring.
I don't know. It's been paid off, hasn't it, in the end? Well, let's switch back to... you said after you were a year at Harper College, that was your first college situation. Is that right?
Yes. Harper College was the local college. It had just been formed mostly for veterans returning from World War II.
From World War II?
Yeah. And the late 40s and early 50s. So anyway, I took advantage of it being there and was able to go there.
Well, I went there, my first year was 1950.
Right.
And then I graduated in 1954. And my recollection is that the tuition was either $600 a term or $600 a year.
It was something like that, but early on, school officials found sources of money to pay my tuition.
Yeah, there were scholarships and various pockets of money. Well, my recollection is that the State University took over a branch of Syracuse University that was in Endicott. Am I right or wrong about that?
Could be. I'm not aware of that.
Yeah. I'll see what I can find out about that. But it was exciting to be there. And maybe you would know, was the community college created at the same time?
There had been a community college with several around the state, and some of them we converted to two-year colleges, really to prepare people for college for the last 2 years. So that was developed as part of Rockefeller's plan for the university.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I think about Syracuse is that I wanted to be a journalism major. When I got there, I decided I was an actress, so that changed. But my plan was to transfer after a year to Syracuse University. But by then, I had made friends and didn't necessarily want to go. So that's how I got thinking about Syracuse anyway. But you told me yesterday that you then, at a certain point, transferred to Cornell, I think.
No, I graduated from...
Oh, you graduated
Harper
from...
Harper College.
Yeah.
I have friends at the at Harper, particularly the dean, helped me get a scholarship at Cornell called the Telluride Fellowship. It had its own living unit. It was heavily endowed by a billionaire somewhere. And... I had 28, in those days, all boys, 28 boys. 14 were selected from around the world, and 14 were selected from the United States. And I was one of the 14.
Is that the Telluride program?
Yes.
And what was it about, the Telluride? Well,
it was quite wonderful. They have a beautiful building on campus near the law school. Telluride House, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And simply put, they paid all expenses, room, board, tuition, books, spending money.
They made money in... What's the connection to the word Telluride?
Well, the man who funded the Telluride House had made his money in long-distance electrical transmission. And I think starting in Telluride.
It did. AC/DC, right? That's all I know about it.
Anyway, he made a lot of money and decided that a good use of it would be to create this community within a college community of scholars.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't all about electricity.
It's nothing about electricity. except that we had electric lights.
Yeah. And so you were there for how long?
I was there for 1 year.
1 year.
And then I was studying law.
At Cornell.
At Cornell Law School. But decided pretty quickly that my interests were in government.
Right.
Rather than deeds and contracts and mortgages. And so I was able to get the state of New York had a program called Internships in Public Administration. They gave a statewide exam, and ultimately selected a class which, fortunately for me, included me. And I could choose what area of the state government I wanted to work in. And I chose education in the state university. And this just, luckily for me, happened to be the very moment that the governor was embarked on an immense plan for building a state university, a modern state university. Before that, we had been mostly teachers' normal schools, where they taught teachers.
Right.
And some technical colleges, but he supported, and I helped design the program, not the buildings.
That was
including the new campus for Harper College.
That was Rockefeller, you're saying, that supported it?
It was Rockefeller, yeah.
Supported the program and also the architecture.
No, I didn't do the architecture. Mm-hmm. I did the financing and the program.
That was, during that time, that's when I was the counselor of students at Harper College. And they brought me a plan of the building, what was going to be like the central gathering spot. I had only been there, you know, two terms, I guess. And they said, well, what do you want in this building? They were going to leave it up to me? And he said, you want a bowling?
Bowling alley?
Bowling alley? I wouldn't want a bowling alley, but I'm sure, you know, it wasn't to be my decision.
But the distinction is, what do you want? Not what are you going to get? And I was in position to decide what you were going to get.
Ah, okay. Well, since I didn't know what I was, you know, I had no ideas.
I don't think a bowling alley would have made it.
No, I don't think so either. What did finally make it?
Well, both the university at Binghamton that we know today, except that it has grown and grown.
Yeah, yeah. It keeps growing.
Yes.
And they took over at Thanksgiving time or something. They took over a whole street in Binghamton and had a big party. So, and there, you probably know this. Why was it called Binghamton University when it was in Endicott?
Well, because it was no longer in Endicott.
There's no longer an Endicott? Do they still call it the Triple Cities?
Actually, I think officially it's in Vestal.
Ah.
But
yeah,
the real reason this was called that, I would imagine, was Senator Anderson.
I was going to say pressure. Is
yes, of course. Yeah. Some people like to have bridges named after themselves and so on.
I think a bridge is the last thing I would want named after me.
Well, there was a big fight recently in the legislature over Cuomo, because the rule is you're not supposed to name any of these things after a living person.
And who did he want to name it after?
Himself.
Himself? Oh, well.
And he did.
The Cuomo Bridge?
Mm-hmm. The Tappan Zee is now.
Yeah, the Tappan Zee. I hope people still call it the Tappan Zee. I suspect they do.
Well, the signage is extensive, so if you're new to the area, you would have never heard of the Tappan Zee. So.
Right.
Well,
that's
would have
true.
Heard of Cuomo, I suspect.
Yeah. So what we were just talking about, is that related to the time when you were no longer a student at Harper College?
No. This is after I had come to the state, after an exam, and went to the New York State Division of the Budget.
Right. So the exam...
For Governor Rockefeller. And I was in the group within the Division of the Budget assigned to develop the state university.
Wow. That must have been an exciting time in Albany for you.
Yes, it was very exciting to have a hand in building the great university.
Including the actual buildings themselves.
Well, the buildings themselves, like the building that you were occupying at SUNY Binghamton, I would have had to approve the plans for that.
The new campus.
Yes, the new campus.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I went back to some kind of alumni thing, and there is a certain part of the campus that has the name Harper College on it.
Well, I insisted that Harper College remain with its identity. And it made sense to take the liberal arts portion, which was so strong, and make that continue to be Harper College as it is today.
Mm-hmm. And the Harper we're talking about is Robert Harper.
H-A-R-P-U-R.
P-U-R. And he was a mathematics teacher at Columbia University when it was first created.
I see. I wasn't aware of that.
And he was the teacher of Alexander Hamilton.
The president of Harper College at that time was Glenn Bartle.
That's right, yeah. So with all of this education behind you and experience, what led you then to carry on your interest in collecting paintings? Or maybe you don't think of it as being a collector.
I certainly do.
I would think so.
But I feel more comfortable with the concept of it being an orphanage. And these paintings are my orphans. They come in dirty-faced, scratched, no attribution.
Well, I'm interested in knowing, and maybe you don't want to divulge it, what your approach is or what you're assessing when you look at, I mean, is it a certain brush stroke or a certain kind
of
paint?
Well, not certainly brush strokes, but many, many other things which I describe pretty fully in the book.
Mm-hmm. In the book you've already written?
Yes.
Right. And is that book available?
Not yet. It's
not yet.
Probably be published next spring.
In the spring, okay. And who's the publisher?
We haven't chosen one.
Does the State University of New York have
a
publishing?
Press, yes, I do.
A press. So you have collected how many paintings over the years?
2,000.
2,000, and how many do you own at the moment?
Roughly 2,000.
They're all in the...
I know it's hard to sell your children.
Or to give them up for adoption.
Once we find out who they are. But they're still not for sale.
Well, maybe you don't want to sell them.
Obviously.
I mean, you're a lot of them you're very fond of. Are you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, tell us, as you did tell me the other day, the story of Van Dyck that was recently attributed.
Not attributed, it was determined.
Determined to be.
By the author of the catalogue raisonné.
Tell me what the catalogue raisonné is.
Well, every major artist has a catalogue raisonné, which has been developed to try to record all known paintings by that artist.
Uh-huh.
But then, since new paintings are found occasionally, every 30 or 40 years, they update the catalogue raisonné. And a painting can't fully be attributed to an artist unless the author of the catalogue raisonné approves it.
And such a catalogue exists?
Yes, she wrote the book. Yes, that's what I have right in there.
Uh-huh.
As I say, for nearly every major artist, there is a catalogue raisonné. Manet, Monet, mm-hmm. Van Gogh, and so on.
And within that book, it attributes their influences by other artists?
No.
Is that,
no, well, this is not a storybook much. It's about particular paintings, mm-hmm. why they qualify.
Right. Why they qualify.
But the author of the catalogue raisonné for Van Dyck actually came to Albany recently to give a lecture on early Van Dyck and to talk about her study of my painting.
Mm-hmm. So did that lead to all talk about it in the newspaper?
the newspapers, the press were happy. It was unveiling. It was the first, it's a newly discovered painting, never seen apparently by anyone other than Van Dyck. And it is of international interest, particularly to those who are interested in Van Dyck. And so it's, plus I assume it has some value. And anyway, the press was there. Mm-hmm. There were many press accounts and television.
Were you excited to have it discovered in that way?
No.
No?
I knew, I owned the painting 20-some years, but I knew it was Van Dyck for, or I felt strongly that it was Van Dyck for the last 17 years.
Mm. But you hanging on to her?
Well, I have many, many projects, and my great interest is in identifying the painting,
mm-hmm.
so it's no longer an orphan. Then I tend to switch gears and look at another, go on to another painting.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that also a Van Dyck, the one you're moving on to?
No.
Completely different project.
Totally different. Well, the process that I've been developed can be applied to any painting, but in this case, I don't have a second Van Dyck.
Right.
So that's the end of that one.
Can you tell us what you look at or for in a painting in order to get to the point where you think it's a Van Dyck? Is it the subject matter?
I write extensively about that in my book. But I would say that I look for similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Did this artist paint things like that? Is there physical age which matches that attribution? You know, the Van Dyck is 400 years old, and so if it's Van Dyck, I want it to look physically 400 years old. The aging of the canvas, and all the things you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, through the years, you've given some things to museums too, haven't you?
Yes, I will. I do that. I've given mostly things to the Albany Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a show coming up of American Indian portraits.
Ah.
Portraits of American Indians that I'm giving them. And they're having a special showing of it.
When will that
happen? December, I think. Over the years, I think I've given them probably 100 items.
Wow.
Anything having to do with local history.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson River School, I tend to save for them. I had been on their board. I'd been a friend of the Institute for 50 years. And of course, we have no museum in Hudson.
I know. I still think we could have a museum in Hudson. And the building that some of us wanted to become a museum didn't happen. But the building is still there. Maybe it will happen one day.
Who knows?
The closest thing we have to a museum, I think, is the Daughters of the American Revolution.
I think so.
Building and the collection. There's somewhat of a collection there.
It's quite a
big
collection, I think.
Yeah. The jaw of a big whale hangs on the wall there. You don't see that too often. But
sounds scary to me.
Yeah, a bit scary. Well, is there anything else you need to tell us about the Van Dyck?
Oh, no.
You're still hanging on to it.
Well, I've had to put many of the paintings into storage, secure storage,
mm-hmm.
because it's probably not smart living with them anymore.
Well, I won't make you tell us where they are, but
of course not.
I wouldn't want people to go after them.
Well, that's why I'm not saying. That's why I'm not saying where they are.
That's right. And that's why I'm not asking where they are. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add to this? I know your book is going to be about how you assess the paintings.
Well, I would include it's also a biography.
That's what you said, yeah, also a bio.
And in great detail, heavily illustrated with my collection.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you very much for telling us all these things about your fascinating life. Sorry?
Entirely my pleasure.
Thank you. Are you going to stay in Hudson as your primary residence?
I plan to.
Good. Thank you so much for all of the time you've given us.
And not at all.
I especially loved hearing about your years at Harper College. And you went into the Telluride Scholarship and then you came...
To Cornell as a Telluride.
Yeah, you went to Cornell and then you...
Went to the state government.
State government. And then when did you go back to Harper College? I thought you came back. Oh, you didn't. Well, you must have loved Ken Lindsay as a teacher, too.
Yes, he's a great man. He really influenced my interest in art.
I would think, yeah. Well, I went into that class thinking, what is there to know about art? Well, there's a lot to know about art.
I should say.
And I remember him very well. Thank you, Albert B. Roberts.